Welcome to the Gatecast.
We're off to see the wizard.
Presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I was going to do my living room like this.
I am not Lucy.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 13. Mike, do you by any chance happen to know what... Is this episode 45 or 46 for us?
For us? No, only 31. Oh, sorry, I ain't got a clue. Sir,
I was going by WP Admin, which said 43 posts. But of course, that includes non-episode posts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we had, what, 22 episodes in Season 1, did we?
Could be.
He said, grabbing his Season 1 DVDs and flicking through 21 episodes in Season 1.
Yeah, you've got to remember, there's episodes that have been posted, there's episodes that are sitting on my hard drive, currently being edited or being prepared to be edited.
Well, so folks, from this perspective, allowing when Mike tirelessly gets around to editing this one, it will be our... 21 plus 13, 34th episode.
That sounds about right.
If we don't include the 10-minute state of...
Or the bonus episode.
Thank the gods, technical gremlins have consigned to the ether. What? Given how insane the incoherent it was.
And also deleting it.
Was it you deleted it?
I deleted it.
That was simply the universe acting through you to save our poor subscribers. From actually having to listen to it.
Well, considering how much that episode was going to be our crowning glory of preparation and planning and structure, and it kind of all went to pot.
As we have found, without an episode to sort of ground us, we really lack structure.
Yeah.
I mean, I need to actually sit down and do Heaven Forfend show notes.
Little cue cards.
Yes, which I'd have to scan and email you. Although I would more likely just type them up in a Word document and fire them off to you that way.
Yeah.
Oh, I should set my MSN to busy because it's not. It's actually idle. Although my personal message on MSN is recording. Shoot.
Yeah, but nobody takes any notice of that.
I did. Well, anyone who does will be mentioned.
Shame them.
Not edited out.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
Okay, so this episode is Spirits, and it seems to be the... it's something most shows do at some point. I know Voyager did it. It's a kind of link with the Native American.
It's White Man Guilt episode, or American yes. White Man Guilt episode.
As opposed to European White Man Guilt episode, which most European, the English, Spanish and French, and to a lesser extent the Germans, didn't restrict themselves to raping and pillaging a single country.
Oh no, we spread the fun around. Anybody was fair game for us lot.
Indeed. One of the reasons there's famines in Africa is because, unfortunately, the British Empire cut down all the hardwood trees to use as shipmasts. Africa used to be a heavily forested country.
Ships.
Oh, they did. Anyway, we're going to come into the opening sequence in If You're Faintly Ready.
If you're faintly ready.
If you're faintly ready.
Yeah, a little bit of warning is always appreciated.
Which is why I'm warning you now. I know I've hit play and then go, oh, didn't you hear me hit play?
The first thing I know about it is when you're describing the opening scene.
That's only happened twice.
Go on then, I'm ready.
In 3, 2, 1, play, spinning up. For once, I'm not actually pausing the roaring line.
Right.
And the line is appearing now. Fade in, white box.
Yep.
Very Biohazard-like box. Teok, of course, really doesn't care. Is that, that is Teok, is it?
That's Teok. Mr. Muscles.
Yeah, because I think there's no way Jack's got four arms like that.
Or a tan.
Which sounds horribly gay. But I say, I'm thinking, how gay did that sound?
It's a rock. Not an impressive piece of rock.
You remember hearing about this. It's supposed to be 100 times lighter and stronger than steel.
No, not if Theo can crush it in his hands.
No.
Too brittle for manufacturing because of its impurity.
Hmm. Ah, and perhaps a slight drop-in of a line from walking down the coal mine. At some point in this episode. Although it probably would have been more appropriate in Need.
Oh, yes.
Which, thank God, has been uploaded.
We won't have to bother with that again.
And we never need to see again. We really don't need Need.
Well, it is a big planet, sir.
True enough. And Connor's people have only scouted within a few miles of the base camp. But they picked up no radio traffic, EM signatures, no sign of any indigenous life whatsoever.
And the problem in this episode is that...
No Walter.
No Walter.
We want Walter. We like Walter. And we're not saying anything. Oh!
Whoa!
Bloody hell!
Nah, it wasn't the observation window.
Everyone all right?
Oh, of course, no, it's that's the conference room they're in, isn't it?
No. No.
Everyone all right?
Ooh, nasty.
I was thinking, for God's sake, it was only 2 or 3 weeks ago that I got bloody things through me.
Oh, God.
Jackson, Swiss cheese.
You've got to be impressed.
The speed that came through, it's got to be a crossbow bolt.
Must be,
there's
yeah.
no way it's an arrow. I mean, it is a serious recoil compound bow to shoot.
Well, it's too small an arrow, isn't it? And like I say, it's a bolt, not an arrow.
Yeah, plus it's got metal fletching on it. And metal fletching is really going to work on a... I suppose it depends on... is that the point? You know, here's a sample of refined trinium.
Yeah, this is what it can do. Fly through the Stargate, straight through bulletproof glass. You know, not just bulletproof, it's probably shockproof and all, considering where it is.
Ah, but you see, the thing is, it's a point impact with considerable force. Point impact, well, bulletproof glass is a... redesigned for a slightly dissipated impact. I mean, if you shoot 4 or 5 times of bulletproof glass in the same point, usually in the corner,
yeah,
it'll protect you long enough to get you away.
Spirits.
Hmm.
Hi, kids.
We're about ready to ship out, sir. You gonna be okay?
I'm not dead, Captain.
He's not dead. I'm not dead, Jim.
I ain't dead. Written by Tor Alexander Valenza.
Cracking name, that, isn't it?
Isn't it? I probably completely mangled it. And directed by somebody rapidly becoming a series regular, Martin Wood.
Yep.
Our preliminary tests show it was made of pure forged trinium. If there are Native Americans on this planet, they've come a long way technologically in the past few 100 years.
And we just marched in and started mining.
Yep, I was right about the refined trinium, sorry. I won't mention the other word again. The other word isn't valid for at least 7 seasons.
Now, in this episode, Jack doesn't go on the mission, primarily because his partner at the time was just about to give birth.
Oh, and originally I think it was because he had a large hole in his arm.
According to Jonathan Glasner, they had to rearrange some of the script to give RDA the time he needed. That's one reason why the episode didn't quite work out as they had hoped.
Hmm.
As you were taking over command of SG-1 on this mission, my superiors have ordered me to remind you to be diplomatic.
Yes, sir.
Just as I would be.
Well.
SG-1, you have a goal.
Sam?
Colonel?
First command. Cool.
I'll do my best, sir.
I know you will, Cat.
Thanks.
As best G1, you have a go. He must be on heavy morphine. He called her Sam.
Ah, but then he called her Captain, he says.
Who exactly is she in command of? I mean, what is the equivalent? What?
Two other
what
people.
What rank does Tio hold?
Well, none, because he's not a member of the SGC, of the military.
And Daniel's a civilian. So what exactly is she in command of?
Herself. And that's why only two of them got that A medal for valiantly defending the Earth.
Hmm. Robert C. Cooper popped up as an executive producer there.
Affirmative. At location now.
A nice little quarry, solar panels. And
I didn't see a written by there.
Coffee's boiled dry.
Prison radius G11 energy drink, extracting an average of 47 pounds of tritium ore per day to increase our production fourfold as the engineers have requested.
Thank you, Sam. Amazingly, the laptop must have been hooked up to the solar panels. It's still on, or it's got, I want a battery like that.
Looks like they all stopped what they were doing and just left.
I found no sign of struggle at the blast site. However, a pair of footprints led me to two separate detonators. The first had been discharged, the second had not.
So SG-11 was taken by surprise before the second charge went off?
That was my first conclusion. But there were no footprints leading away from the mine. It's as if they disappeared where they were standing.
Oh, Toro Alexander Valenza. I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah, she did. Yep.
Directed by Martin Wood. Teok's looking particularly chocolatey today.
Just the right amount of shine.
Yes. I presume they use something to reduce the shot. Otherwise, like, the light would be bouncing off. Hmm. I really don't remember this episode at all, and I'm wondering if that's a good thing.
I am certain I heard something.
Ghosts?
Jaffa do not believe in such things.
The wolf. Talk about the non-subtle Indian reference.
Yeah, they were going to use a bear, but
yeah, cost and control.
Well, no, actually, Canadian law forbids the use of animals that are supposedly, you know, naturally from the wild. So they had to use a wolf.
The wolf's not naturally from the wild?
Well, not from that area, whereas the bear was. Something bizarre like that,
it's
anyway.
It's not the area. From what area? P3X 986? I mean,
no,
come
on. From Vancouver, where they're shooting. How did he get up there?
The hell?
Spider-Man. He's not going to give her much close support, though, is he, if she gets in trouble?
No, but he's taken the high ground. And we have a sort of oddly totem poley thing. And how did they get over there?
Trinium. Just like the arrow.
Sounds a bit hollow.
And she's sort of
You interpret it, Daniel?
It's a clan crest. I believe akin to the style of the Central Coast Salish Indians, it tells a story of the clan's origin. This one tells of how they were brought here from a distant planet by evil rulers. Now, according to this figure, the evil rulers were probably Jaffa, taking them from Earth.
So this was once a Goa'uld planet?
Well, according to the crest, the Goa'uld were destroyed by Zales, who's protected them ever since.
Zales?
He's the Salish's main spirit. On Earth, he's a benevolent one traditionally and represented by this raven figure.
I'm not sure if that bird twittering noise is coming from outside of the screen.
It's that, what was it, a rook?
No, I heard a tweet. I heard a Twitter noise.
Well, yeah, there's
not
a bird.
As in tweet, as in a bird twitter. I'm assuming it was Evensong from outside.
Well, no, there's a bird flying around in this episode.
Mm. Well, yes, that one that's depicted on totem pole. Daniel is expositioning happily. Teok's very jumpy.
I heard that.
Me too. Teok?
Felt that and all. Oh, Daniel falls behind the rock.
Sam hasn't done many of her own stunts. She's very, like, must jump carefully. Oh. Through the pack and everything. And the Kevlar.
Yeah, that's a long needle. It's that tritium, then. Fantastic stuff.
Yes. And how do they have the technology to smelt it?
All will be revealed. Was that supposed to be a canoe?
Possibly.
Very narrow canoe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could even sit in that.
Even kiddies would have trouble sitting in that.
You got a pelvis diameter wider than 14 inches, your back guys.
Whoa! Hi. We were just stretching our legs. crosshairs. It's a good sign that Connor and SG-11 are too.
Oh, there's your crossbow.
Yes. Which looks like a modified catapult.
That's basically all
they're being held in a huge room.
Rather modern-looking room, isn't it, really?
Does that look like a communal dining hall slash throne room type of thing?
Yeah.
These walls are made of a flexible trinium fiber. But it's waterproof, and it is incredibly strong.
It's amazing. They've managed to evolve technologically, essentially maintain their way of living.
Yet we observe no facilities for manufacturing. There should be visual indications of processing.
Well, the Salish on Earth are migratory, depending on the season, so...
There's a hell of a lot more to these people than is on the surface, that's for sure.
Indeed. It's a very de-sexing black tea, isn't it?
Tanani, played by Rodney A. Grant.
I am Tanani.
Captain Samantha Carter, SGC.
Long name.
Okay, how about Sam?
Sam.
These are my friends. Dr. Daniel Jackson.
Doc?
Daniel's fine.
I am Teal'c.
The spirits say you have a demon inside you, Teal'c.
The demon will cause you no harm. I give you my word.
But how do I know the value of your word? We've only just met.
We mean you no harm, Tanani.
If you mean us no harm, why did you bring weapons?
Self-defense. Our friends are missing. We need to find them.
They're not missing. They're with the spirits.
You mean dead?
No. With the spirits.
Oh, the spirits.
How many times has this guy played the sort of generic Indian in science fiction?
I would imagine that it's a very profitable role for him.
Because I'm sure I've seen another stuff.
Well, he was in Due South, so that was Inuit, so a similar type of culture.
Yes, the spirits have them.
A bit sceptical.
Is this Daniel rapidly backpedaling and sort of going, oh, yes, we know what you're talking about. Please don't shoot us with the large pointy arrows. He doesn't really say that, bother. Okay.
He seems very casual, you know. It's. What's he been smoking?
Peaceful and centered.
Yeah.
And we saw your friends making war on the mountain, trying to take the key.
Trinium.
Yeah, that's what your friend called it. After Zales took your friends, he told me to shoot an arrow through the circle of standing water, warn your kind not to return.
Oh, it was him, was it then?
Mm-hmm.
Damn good shot, mate.
I guess you didn't understand.
Oh, no, we understood. But warning or no warning, it's not our custom to abandon our friends.
I could introduce you to Zales, and we could tell him it's all a misunderstanding.
So what you're saying is you'll take us to where our friends are?
I don't know where your friends are, but Zales will.
Hmm. Yes.
Zales knows everything.
Zeus, also known as Muad'Dib. Zeus knows all. Zeus tells all. Actually, it's more like, not Muad'Dib, the reference is made to, the Fremen. I'm not going to dig out my Dune knowledge.
No, like I say, regardless of what they think of these people, they might as well play along. Because they don't seem dangerous or threatening.
Indeed not.
It's not as if they've got a great big trinium cooking pot in the corner.
No, but Daniel's approach here is interesting.
Look, wherever we're going, there's probably going to be a ceremony of some kind. I don't know, they might even ask you to dance. But whatever it is, no matter how ridiculous it may seem, just try to go along with it.
No matter how ridiculous it might seem, go along with it. Yeah, Daniel, remember what Carter ended up doing the last time you said that?
How is it that you remove the impurities from the key so that it won't crumble?
Well, first we asked the spirits asked the mountain for the key. And then if the mountain is in a good mood, they drop the key in the river.
That's one way to mine. You probably can understand why there was such a culture clash when the Western peoples met the Indian tribes.
And then we take it out of the river and shape it into whatever we need.
Oh.
Down! Rikaya!
Oh, wait, you're not going to perform a ceremonial dance or something?
My great-great-grandfather used to call up the spirits that way. But one day, Zales just said, call my name. And that's what we do.
Daniel's disappointed. Daniel wants him to do something interestingly tribal.
Captain Carter.
Kaya, my friend. Maya, coat shines beautifully today.
He keeps seeing this wolf. Mm-hmm. Tilt looks around. Can you lot see it now? Is it there?
Mm-hmm.
Because he hasn't been believing his eyes so far.
Yes.
My, what big eyes you have.
Ask her about your friends.
Do we actually see a shape shift at this point? Or is it later?
Later. Big eyes.
Sorry?
What big eyes you have.
It's a Little Red Riding Hood reference.
You couldn't imagine that perhaps in
she
the first draft, Jack.
Though.
That was Jack's line, though.
Yeah.
She's right there.
I can only see a wolf, Tonani. A beautiful animal, granted, but not a spirit.
You can't see the wind either, Sam, but you know it's there. You can hear it. You can feel it. You can see its effects on the trees. It's the same with the spirits. You see a wolf, but Takaya is there.
Tanani, is that Zales?
Yes, it is, Daniel.
Good guess, Daniel.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Tanani turning around? No, Daniel, it's a bird.
This guy is a hippie. But he's not
white.
A hippie in the sort of annoying, irritating way the Nox are.
And the Nox think they are better than everybody else, and I suppose from their viewpoint, they're right. Whereas Tanani, he'd be quite happy to accept these three. Mm.
And now Daniel is going to just try a complete line of bull, frankly.
Did you hear that? I'm almost sure that he said he would release them.
I believe I heard it also.
Is that what you heard, Sam?
What I heard was a little different.
I thought I heard him say he would think about it, that he would get back to us.
Right. That's what I heard.
Well, are you sure? I mean, he just...
Daniel, forget it. Let's just let the bird think about it.
Yeah, if Jack was here, can you understand him, Daniel?
Daniel seems to have confused peace and sort of spirituality with childlike naivety, and I don't think he's got that.
Yeah, Sam's caught onto it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Daniel's trying to be subtle and attempt subterfuge, and he's really not word for
no. Whereas you'd think, out of the three of them, Daniel would be the quickest to understand these people.
Mm.
He's missing Jack, that's it. He wants to go home.
Well, that was fast.
I'm sorry, I missed that one.
Zales has granted your request. Your friends will be released.
Did he say when?
Captain Carter.
This is a different part of the Vancouver woodland from previous episodes.
They look like first that the bird is perching up.
It's gone away now, I think. It's made a decision.
Captain Carter.
How does it feel to see the wind, Sam?
And we have some gentle, let's face it, dry ice. It could supposedly be native mist, but it's dry ice.
And as if by magic, SG-11 turned up.
Last thing I remember, I was riding around position for more blasting caps. Next thing I know, I'm walking out of this mist, and there you were.
And that's it?
Yes. Except my head feels like I just got back from a 3-day pass.
Why are there 7 members of SG-11?
Well, I suppose there's... If they're mining, there'll probably be a few mining experts, geologists, then security.
I want to see the cute redhead more. Obviously, he wasn't paid for much other than distant background. That was some shots out.
And that's Connor, played by Roger R. Cross. You recognise him from First Wave, if you haven't seen that, like Fringe or Taken.
I saw Taken.
Yeah, they were all drugged. It's going around. We kidnapped you for 2 days, but we're still pals. Yes, we ignored him.
Have you been instructed to hide behind one of the major actors, do you think? And they've been told probably to mouth and pretend talking, but not actually making any...
Rhubarb, rhubarb.
Nice. Rhubarb, 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 rhubarb. I've actually done that.
Have you?
Yeah, I was an extra in a road safety ad. Well, a sort of transition year road safety program thing, and we had to pretend to talk because we were background.
Love the hats.
Yeah, Trinium hats.
They really, really make use of that mineral. It's an amazing compound.
We understand, Sam, that you have no ill intentions, that you only wish to extract the key. But your methods are wasteful and violent. They not only upset our people, but our spirits. Come on, tight.
Why can you not be content with the key that the spirits send down the river?
Our people may need more than the river can provide, but we don't wish to shorten your supply. Now, we do have other mining methods that are less destructive.
Less destructive mining methods.
Yeah. Oh, poor innocent fools.
Perhaps Donane could return with you through the circle of standing water and see these methods.
Yeah, that's a solution. Have any of your people ever traveled through the circle before?
The bird doesn't like this. Mm-hmm. He's not having any of this.
Can't be that dangerous. They're alive. And I love to travel.
Oh, yes.
He's up for it.
Yeah, well, no, she's kind of thinking, this isn't going to go down well as my first command.
So the elders agreed to allow Tanani to come back and observe our alternative mining methods, and here we are.
Sounds like fun. Sorry I missed it. Good job, Captain.
Thank you, sir. How's the...
Fine.
I thought you were going to show me your mining methods, George.
We intend to, but first we need you to take a brief medical exam.
George?
Tanani, this is Colonel Jack O'Neill.
Jack?
Yeah, that'll do. It's an honor to meet you, sir.
No, he come to show George. You Jack instead.
George. This is Tanani. He's everyone's sort of friend, you know. He'd be gone up within sort of 2 minutes and saying, how are you, Barrack? I don't know if he'd be nice to Gordon, that's why. Gordon probably doesn't deserve it.
Stop the images, please. These ways are just as wasteful and destructive as the others.
Yeah, that really does look environmentally...
Yeah.
And that is the SGC's idea of alternative mining methods. Not using explosives. Yeah, basically we take the top off the mountain... Let all the slag run down and pollute the rivers.
Oh, open cast mining.
No, it's something they've done in America where they literally just cut the top of the mountain off. And where there were hills and valleys, it ends up just being one flat plain because all the valleys get filled in with all the slag.
Perhaps Dr. Jackson would show you the rest of our facility. I'm sure you'll find it interesting.
Yes. I'd also like to show you images of your ancestors.
Ancestors?
Oh, yeah, this may come as a bit of a shock, but we believe that your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather may have actually come from here.
From here?
Actually...
Oh, yeah. They're going to take him to a casino on tribal land. This is what they are now.
The Jeremiah. I'm enjoying Jeremiah, by the way.
That may be enough trinium to meet the needs of Tanani's tribe, but not enough for any practical application. Therefore, I have been ordered to consider other initiatives.
Initiatives?
Nothing sinister, Captain. The NID has a proposal before the Pentagon suggesting that when the Salish migrate south, we send another SG team to the planet to continue extracting samples and leave again before the Salish return.
O'Neill looks unhappy.
I'm not comfortable with that, sir.
Sir, they set us free last time. But if they caught us mining the mountain again, they might not be so gracious.
It's just not going very well.
No, it's not.
But the next time the Ghoul attack, we might not be so fortunate. We need whatever military advantages we can find. If that means trinium.
Sir, I am all for getting the trinium, but there has to be an alternative.
Anyone at the Pentagon or along the chain of command remotely concerned about their aboriginal rights, repeating history, that
annoyingly pesky moral stuff.
That's enough, Colonel.
With respect, General, I think he's right.
Yeah, what the hell? Worked before.
I've got assurances that it will only be a small exploratory operation with much less damage to the mountainside. And hopefully, what they don't know won't hurt them. Dismissed.
I don't know whether or not you could argue that it's all the NID's fault.
It's not the NID's fault. He seems to be supporting them in this.
Well, he's following the chain of command, isn't he? You know, at the end of the day, that's what Hammond has to do.
He's always fought the NID in the past.
We should go back in there.
He's very upset.
Yeah.
Jack's not happy.
Yes.
Right.
That was a good scene, even though perhaps it went on a bit long, but it probably just underlines the fact that we as a species or a culture haven't changed very much.
Mm-hmm.
I had a meeting, Captain. Was there something else?
Yes, sir.
Oh, dear. So, Connor isn't Connor.
No. No one is no one. No one is anyone.
As I suspected, they intend to deceive our friend Tonane. It's time to show the Earthlings the power of the spirits.
Oh, dear.
Yep, they mean business.
What is that? That looks like a tank that holds the symbiote in.
Yeah. You're next. Oh, he made the alarm. The alarm's going off, but they don't know exactly where we're going.
Well, presumably it triggers. Whoa. She looks less cute now. Didn't he go in from that side? Did it obviously link through and around?
Drill, I repeat, not a drill!
What's that sound mean, Daniel?
It means that... It means that I'm going to show you a part of the base most people rarely get to see.
Is that a new alarm, code 9? I don't think we've heard that one before. Oh, Titania's taking it all in his stride.
Yes.
He's not concerned about anything. Was Daniel? This is the closet. Storage room. These lights are new, aren't they? You know, the SGC haven't looked as good as this before.
Mm. SG-11 is bopping around, waving their arms, making our people disappear.
So we do not bring back SG-11?
I don't think so. Where's Tanani?
With Daniel, archives.
And where did the alarm originate?
The lab.
Pitiful armory, that is. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Really, Jack? You don't think it's SG-11?
SG-1 against the world.
Yes, so.
Oh, you heard a flutter of bird wings?
Colonel? Pointer?
The corridors in the other lab are empty.
What happened? It's Tanani. He came into the infirmary and just waved his hand and made everyone disappear. I hid. He didn't see me. I pushed the panic button after he left.
What about Connor and his team?
It's Tanani we have to find. The others are meaningless.
Ooh, you little liar.
Yes. That's because it's not Warner.
Oh.
Hmm.
That raised a few flags. If not eyebrows. A very single eyebrow from Jack.
Yeah, Jack's not...
So, who are you?
Excuse me? Dr. Warner.
I don't think so.
Jack can shoot you with either hand.
I am one of Tonani's guardian spirits, Colonel O'Neill. If you know where he is, take me to him. Otherwise, if you harm him or myself...
There's a change, and the head movements.
Your people will never be returned to you.
We don't respond well to threats.
Neither do we.
So that's Zales then, the bird. Hence the fluttering of the wings. Neither do we.
Oh,
that's handy.
Oopsie.
Mm. Zombie and alien, that's not going to cost me a lot of money. And only takes
so
a couple
cover
of thousand.
All in silver.
You will be punished.
Alright, let's get him.
It. Back to the infirmary.
A long silver frock and some facial prosthetics.
And, yeah, the facial prosthetics. He has gone very floppy, though, hasn't he?
All right, Herman. She's with me.
Oh, that were a nice change. Now, that's criminal, ain't it? They've got Christina Cox, who's a very attractive woman, and they put her under all that crap. Oh, yeah, she's a very good-looking woman.
I may Google later.
You've seen her in Atlantis.
Who was she in Atlantis?
She was, you know, that all-girl team.
Oh, vaguely, yes.
Yeah, she's one of them.
I will find Zales and Tonane. If we lose contact, destroy this place. And return home with the others.
Back to Wolf, eh?
Yeah.
I'm assuming they got a female wolf.
Yeah. Or always shoot from above.
They encounter us otherwise.
You really want the Ghostbusters, so she's a dog. Even tonight he's finally getting a little bit bored.
Yeah.
Anyway, like I was saying, this is a storeroom. And the reason we store things is so that we always have them on hand, like this.
Can I go home now?
Okay, Tanani, I won't lie to you. There is a problem. We have to find Jack.
Okay. He's not in here.
Things are sort of...
He's not in here.
What did he say?
He says, we've got to find Jack, and Tanani just looks around and says, he's not in here.
That's a classic.
Jack?
Daniel?
Are you?
Yeah, you.
What?
Never mind. Tanani, we need to talk.
Not worth the effort, Jack, is it?
Are you? I mean, of course he's going to say yes.
Maybe I should just go home.
Not just yet.
I wouldn't leave just yet.
Our people are disappearing all over the base, and it has something to do with you. Did you know Connor and SG-11 were really aliens?
What are aliens?
Yeah, you're going to have to explain a few things more basically before you get to this conversation.
Indeed. We're not saying much.
Not a lot to say. Some nice dialogue.
Yes.
I mean, the Tony character is very nicely written.
And very nicely played.
It also happens to be one of your spirits.
Probably Zales.
Zales? Is that you?
He's a lot cleverer than they think he is. I mean, he's already put two and two together and realised that we humans are doing something we shouldn't be doing.
Yes, both humans.
Yeah.
In the world of my origin, there were beings who pretended to be gods, so they could conquer my people and rule with fear. Perhaps that is the way of your spirits.
Ooh, that's not good.
The spirits really don't differentiate between...
But my spirits aren't evil. They don't rule us. They protect us.
Tanani... That is Zales. And right now, he's trying to conquer this base. Now, I want to know why. More importantly, I want to know how to stop him.
The spirits I know wouldn't threaten your people. Unless you were doing something to threaten mine. Are you, Jack? Because if you are, there's no way to stop them. Zales and Takaya... And the other spirits, they'll destroy you.
Oh, come on. They really should add the wolf, putting its paws up or something.
It's just, a wolf that had to train.
Just raises its paws for a shake or something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, from what I overheard... They won't destroy the base until they've found Tanane.
Clearly, we must convince the aliens they will make no further attempts to extract Trinium from their work.
Good point from O'Neill here.
The fact is, we got caught plotting behind closed doors. Now, I don't know how we're going to convince them our word is good for squat. I mean, my God, we shot that one. If we come across any more of them, I don't think it's going to be a very long conversation.
Okay. Well, we can still appeal to the elders. Tell them what's happened.
You mean, fess up?
Yeah, we screwed up.
Yeah, they screwed up big time.
Boy, did we screw up.
It's pretty much did exactly what Gould would do.
Yeah.
They'd assess a population, decide that they're no threat, and just go in and do whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Tanani. It's time for the truth.
Now, perhaps if the SGC was left to themselves, they wouldn't have bothered going back. But the influence of the NID probably swayed things a bit.
Just as had.
And of course, we don't know yet, but we will next week. The NID are a lot more proactive than we're led to believe.
Kaya? Before you make me disappear... Or bite me, just...
I'm not sure which is worse, whether you bite me or make me disappear.
Get me out.
I mean, it's the same set redressed, as I understand it.
We can't afford a second transformation. They're sneaky little sods, aren't they?
Yeah.
Where is Zales?
Promise... Hear me out.
Sir, it's possible he's still suffering the effects of the Zat gun.
I don't think so, Captain. He just doesn't want to show himself.
Hey! No! Jack, it's okay. Just let them tend to Zales.
High five.
How do I know you're really Daniel?
Good question. How does he know he's really Daniel?
Because.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, dear. Oh, this is his decisions. Because. good enough. I mean, Zales wasn't bluffing. He really was hurt. I suppose you could argue the Zat gun operates a little differently on these people.
Aliens, things.
Oh, you don't look happy. Oh, nice.
Hmm.
He was listening.
Hmm. Oh, there's Scott. A little late, unfortunately.
Thank you. Kaya, destroy this place. Wait! You promised to listen.
What they do know won't hurt them. Isn't that what your leader said, Colonel? Their word means nothing.
And so would mine, if I were to do as you asked. I have made a promise to this one, so that we can save your life.
I am listening. But I do not guarantee that your words will sway me from punishing you.
Well, he's honest.
For what?
For what?
For trying to deceive the Salish and steal our key. And for attempting to destroy the trust and faith between Tonarne's people and my own.
Quite a long list there, isn't it, Jack?
Yep.
You did shoot me. Remind them that, yeah.
Okay. I give you my word. That we'll give up this mining operation.
Even if we could trust you, your superiors will not be swayed by your oath.
So don't take my word.
Yeah, that's not gonna work really, is it?
Shut down your Stargate. That way, no one will be able to come to your planet unless you allow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the solution.
Star travel is of no use to us. Let us close down the gate.
This does not erase the second transgression.
Exactly why do these people have an active Stargate?
Good point.
You're not allowed to expose yourself.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind Miss Cox exposing herself.
I think she was the only one, though, that got a fitting for the silver suit. Because the rest of them don't. It just hangs on them. Where there's a little more tight-fitting.
Well, just a suit and some falcon powder.
Well, that's one interesting thing they said. When they got rid of the Gould on their world, how did the Gould occupy their world in the first place if these people are so powerful?
Maybe they learned.
Perhaps they were very happy-go-lucky, easy-going people.
Yes,
the Gould turned up and said, oh, leave them. We're not bothered. Nothing phases Tanani.
What does this button do? So, kaboom, ceiling comes down.
Even now, they value the natural world far more than technology. Trust them. If you really do respect Tanani's people, you shouldn't be posing as their spirits. Trust them.
Our friend Tanani is wise. And so is our friend Jack.
So he is.
Of all the times I've rubbed your belly.
Oh, yes, I'm sure she enjoyed it.
At least he's not calling you Gould. He finally got that out of his system.
Yeah, even with the talker.
Tanani? Sales. Sales? Tanani.
So you're Zales.
And I am Takaya. We are honored by the names your forefathers have given us.
You view us now in our true form.
He's there again. Nothing bothers him, and he always comes up with the right answer.
Our friends from this world call us aliens. You call us spirits. From now on, Tonone, you and your people may view us in the form which pleases you best.
You have always been kind to my people. So, whatever makes you happy.
I think this form makes us happy.
Does this mean I can go home?
Yeah, I think it does.
Bye, Jack.
Hey, I'm going home now.
Oh, wait! What about our friends?
Your friends are right beside you, Daniel.
You wait till I tell everybody about this.
Yes.
They won't believe me.
You want to come down the ramp a little?
Yeah.
Colonel O'Neill?
Yeah. I'll explain it all later, sir.
In fact, you seriously might want to go down the ramp a little. I think they were too far up the ramp to be safely out of the way.
As if by magic. Okay.
That's the entire base. Not very many people.
Well, perhaps a code 9 locks down the levels.
Well, you did see Doris dropping.
Yeah, the little tribal chanted.
Yes, he waved. He looked like he was about to say something there. I wonder if they continue filming and then edited it down for time. And that was Spirits. A kind of meh episode.
It doesn't get great reviews. It was a lot better than some of the episodes we've watched recently. It had an excellent character in Tanani. Excellent character. Really enjoyed watching him and the actor perform.
I mean, far better than Bane.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of course, Bane had the perky child. Irritatingly perky. Perky bad.
Yeah, I really had no problems with that episode. Like Glasner said himself, it was meant to be better, but circumstances stopped that.
Yeah, well, Jack being unable to stop himself 9 months previously stopped that.
It could have been a hell of a lot worse, though. I mean, this episode, you know, you write something like this, and it really could become a train wreck.
Oh, cliched and kitsch.
Yeah.
And...
you know, well, not the white guy, really, because there's various shades of colours in the SEC. But the civilised world, if you will, modern world, clashing with the primitive, more simplistic.
Well, you see, I think your words like primitive and more simplistic don't apply. I think it's more a case of the modern world clashing with a world which is more in tune with nature.
Yeah. It's more a simple way of life, but that's why I changed it from primitive. I mean, you can argue that Tanani has a better outlook on the world than everybody in the SGC. He's a more balanced individual.
Yes, well, he's got incredibly powerful help. He can afford to hang on to his simple existence on the basis that the Gould can't come along and squash him.
He may never even have met any Gould. I imagine
No, I'd imagine not. They came at the spirits. It's never... The thing is, they're never referenced again, are they?
No, they're not. This is a one-off.
I mean, we don't know where they came from.
It's implied, is this world. But then you ask yourself, how did these people develop? How did they become so powerful? And none of that is explained, which is probably the weakness of the episode.
The weak link?
Yeah. Hammond in this episode doesn't come across very well. There was room there for him to be object more to the NID's ideas, but he didn't. He went along with them.
I see. You forgot your password then.
Mm. I mean, he has a point.
Sorry,
you know.
Checking mail. I saw mail. He does. But disagree. I mean, I'm more in favour of the environmental approach.
In what respect?
In respect of, I think I prefer... Hammond is... Were you saying Hammond had a point? Or?
He was arguing from the purely military standpoint, they needed that mineral because of the advantages it could give them.
I mean, did they test it against... sort of Teok's staff weapon?
Well, they'd brought some Trinium back before, and they knew of its potential, if not exactly what it could do. But it was a very lightweight element and very, very hard, probably a lot better than titanium. And you use that on the hull of some aircraft or something, and you have a better vessel.
Fair enough.
There's a lot that could be explained further that you have just got to take as gospel.
Well, sort of on faith, as it were. So yes, as gospel, on faith and as gospel being the same thing.
Well, I suppose you could argue the gospel is written by people who act to manipulate other people, whereas faith is faith, very individual thing. I mean, these people, Tanani's people, they live with the spirits, but it doesn't seem they have any rigid belief system. They just live their lives.
True. Our episode next week is episode 14, and it's the final, if you've got the Region 1 DVDs, as I do, the final episode on disc 3. And it's Touchstone. A powerful climate-controlling Touchstone is stolen from planet Madrona, causing weather to rapidly deteriorate. And when the SG-1 team is accused of the theft, O'Neill must pursue the real thief and rescue the missing stone before all Madrona perishes.
Next on Stargate SG-1.
We may have stumbled on the most important piece of technology the SGC mission has discovered to date.
A technological marvel disappears.
The Touchstone maintains the weather on this planet.
And SG-1 is held responsible.
We demand you return the Touchstone!
We did not take it.
But the traitor is much closer to home.
Our own people are involved here.
Now, to save an entire planet from complete destruction...
We shall soon be overtaken by the elements.
SG-1 must blow open a deadly conspiracy.
How do you know who to trust?
Before it destroys them.
Who's pulling the strings, Mayborn?
Take a piece of advice, Jack. Let this one drop.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
It's not a bad episode, that ain't.
No, and it's referenced again, I think.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. It's the start of the whole arc with...
NID.
Yeah, getting annoyingly... annoying.
Myself for sending them?
Yeah.
Which I thought was nice, alliterative.
Come on then, let's wrap this up and you can use the facilities.
Yes, Pebble Dash. Well, I was focused on the episode. My nether regions decided to stay quiet.
Come try ya!
It's feedback time. Cue the sound of crickets. We don't have anything in our email or comments on the Gatecast website, but we do have some messages from Stephen, a member of our Gatecast Facebook group. Hi Mike. I again like the idea of this episode. We are introduced to a new powerful alien species, but yet again we never see them again in the series. All shapeshifting aliens are good in my book. I'm not really a religious man, but I really enjoyed the line Danae says, "You can't see the wind either, Sam, but you know it is there." I've never really thought of things like that before. Some good lines in the episode too. I enjoyed Daniel showing Tanani the storage room. Good stuff. Speak to you soon, Stephen. Thanks for the feedback, Stephen. As always, appreciate it. Yeah, the spiritual aspects of this episode were perfectly acceptable. Perhaps if they'd gone down more of an organised religious angle, it would not have worked. But the culture class, despite being forced at you, created a good backdrop to see exactly how some of the SGC thought. If anyone else wants to leave comments for past, current or future shows, then feel free to do so. If you want to get in touch with us, you can visit our homepage at gatecast.facecast.com or our Facebook page. Search for the Gatecast. Our email address is gatecast@facecast.com, which is ready to receive both MP3 audio comments and plain email. And believe me, we want to hear from fans of Stargate about our own show, both good and bad, and of course the franchise in general. We are listed on iTunes, so any feedback or simply giving us a rating is appreciated, and we have a podcast pickle listing. Many thanks to those who have already taken the time to contact us or leave feedback. It's always appreciated. We also have three promos on the feed and on the website. Any podcaster out there with their own promo, feel free to send it to us and we'd be delighted to play it. If you play ours in return, even better.
Come try ya!
That's pretty much what you said, not a bad episode. Next week's episode could be interesting enough. We'll continue to release regularly thanks to your tireless work, Mike.
Yep, great fun.
Great. And in general news, because I'm assuming that by the time this comes out, it will definitely have returned. Stargate Universe, for those of you that are watching it, should be back on your screens in the UK by now and will have been back on your screens in the States for at least 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep. New Stargate shows. It's about time.
And looks far more interesting, sort of a space battle.
It'll be interesting to see if the viewers that they did lose early on, and I'm sure there was quite a few of them who were disappointed with the first half of the season, you know, with former Stargate fans, return to the show. I'm sure even those that walked away still keep an eye on it. You don't just leave Stargate cold turkey. It's with you for life.
No, of course not. Look at our hundreds of loyal listeners. Well, tens of loyal listeners anyway. All right, on that note, folks, we shall bid you adieu. It's goodbye from me.
Yeah, it's goodbye from him. And goodbye, everybody.
Bye, folks.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.